I always dreaded the end of the Christmas season as a child. Any of you feel the same way? My mom always seemed a bit sad as she packed away all the decorations at the end of Christmas. The joys of the season seemed long past. Radio stations had long since changed back to normal music. The homemade cookies were either gone or gone stale. All our relatives had returned to their own homes. Most years the tree got put out on the curb, or some years left in the backyard for an embarrassingly long period of time. One year it went up in an 80-foot tall blaze of glory in my dad's burning barrel in the backyard. And even that awesome, unexpected display of light couldn't quite hold back that dark feeling of knowing Christmas time was finally over. This year I've had the joy of seeing our children enjoy the wonder of the Christmas season, and I've been a bit heartbroken as well to see that James in particular shares my dread of the end of the season. He does not want it to end. He doesn't quite understand why it has to end, and he's learning the blues of the season just as I did as a young child. It's a little sad to watch. A lot of folks have their trees down. People have put their gifts away or returned them for store credit. Most folks have started to put decorations back in the attic or soon will. School has started back or soon will. Most places aren't playing Christmas music anymore and won't until October or November of next year. The church has given us this season, though, of Christmas, 12 days of Christmas focused on the coming of Christ, to help us reflect on and appreciate this gift of Jesus that is for us. This season now comes to an end, and whether it goes out in a blaze of glory or in a heavy sigh as we sadly pack our stuff back up until next season, we must move on into the other seasons of the church year. But if we tell the truth, most of us probably moved on days ago. Many of us probably put Christ coming out of mind the day after Christmas. We heard the story of Jesus' coming from Luke's gospel, the baby in the manger, the visits of the shepherds and angels, and so on. But how many of us thought anymore about it after that wonderful Christmas Eve? And now, to make matters worse, the post-holiday funk sets in. The house looks a bit empty. The celebrations are over with. What now? What now do we do with this gift? And that's why today we hear about a different kind of Christmas story. This one is not concerned with babies in mangers or virgin births or wise men or shepherds. John's Christmas story starts in the beginning, at the very moment of creation. And John tells us not a single thing that has been created was created apart from God, from the Word of God. It all came from God, it all belongs to God, and it all testifies to and reveals God. And yet John wants us to know that even though God is a part of all things through that creation, that was not enough. It turns out this Word that was in the beginning, this Word that was with God and indeed was God and is God, that Word has come into the world to dwell among us. God desires to be with us. God wants life with you and me and all. Further, John says, to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. And again, John reminds us, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For John, Christ coming into the world is not a manger moment, not a star in the sky. Christ coming into the world is God's drawing near to God's creation and God ushering in a new age of relationship between God and God's people. To illustrate the kind of closeness God has in mind, John says this: it is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. That phrase, close to the Father's heart, literally translates to in the bosom of the Father. It's language of great intimacy and closeness. The only other time that phrase about being close to one's heart, being in the bosom of another, comes up in John's gospel, comes up in John chapter 13. At the table where Jesus shared his last night with his closest friends, we read there that the disciple whom Jesus loved is reclining in the bosom of Jesus, close to the heart of Jesus, there at the table of fellowship. Jesus, the Word, is close to the Father's heart. And in taking on human flesh and dwelling among us, Jesus sat with his closest disciple close to his heart. That is what the incarnation of Jesus makes possible. By becoming flesh and dwelling among us, God has indeed drawn near. By his coming, the Son has made the Father's love known to us and accessible to us in a new way. What the Father and Son share with one another, the Son has come to share with us. This is indeed grace upon grace. This is truly a gift we do not deserve, we cannot earn, and we'll never have to return. God is for us, with us, and among us always. And so during this season of turning off the Christmas music, of taking down the lights and the tree and the decorations, of getting back to life as usual, remember, life is not the same because God has drawn near. God still draws near to you this day. Today, through the waters of your baptism, God speaks a reminder to you that God has indeed given you power to become a child of God. Today, in this word proclaimed through Scripture, through our music, through this sermon, God speaks to us once again of God's great abundant love for us all. Today, in, with, and under the bread and the wine, Christ's very body and blood are given and shed for us. And we become that which we receive, the body of Christ. God wants that close, intimate life with you. That is why the Word came. That is why the baby was born. God draws near. God becomes like us in order to show us what true life is really about. And if it weren't enough that the Word has become flesh for us and with us, grace upon grace, we are gifted to be a gift. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are those sent to touch others with the life and love of Christ that we ourselves have received. That is another thing that the incarnation means and brings about. Not only that the Word, God, took on human flesh and lived among us, but now the body of Christ is still alive and well in the world through us, the church. And we live this life with God not just one day, not just 12 days, not just one Christmas season, but every day. You know, this world that God loves can be cruel sometimes. This world in which the Word came to dwell can be frightening sometimes. This world in which we are called to live can be dark sometimes. And John speaks this truth today. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So may it be in your life this season and always. The going away of the Christmas time season, the end of the music and the lights and the festivities cannot overpower the life and love God shares with us. The fears and the terrors of this life cannot snuff out the flame of love and life and hope and faith that Christ has come to kindle. The worries and troubles that you face will not leave you isolated or alone any longer. God still draws close to us, still dwells with us here. Here in this place, we receive from his fullness. and here from this place we are sent to shine to all who fear, to all who hurt, to all who sorrow, to all who grieve. So come here always and dwell with the Word. But also go with the Word this day and always to dwell among those who need God's love. Amen.